Joining me to discuss the importance of sex education at all ages is Grace Alice O'Shea from Milltown. Grace is a trained sex and intimacy educator, coach and occupational therapist. Grace, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you for having me on.
Grace, you trained originally in healthcare as an occupational therapist. Why did you decide to get involved in sex and intimacy education?
Yes, I did. And I got involved in a bit of an accidental way, really. So once I finished my OT degree, I did a master's in health promotion. And when I did that master's, I actually got offered a placement doing sex education in schools. And I just found it very interesting. And it was something I didn't get in school personally. So it was just great to see and great to be involved. And that was over 10 years ago now. So I basically kind of took it from there and went into the field. And then I also upskilled to then start working with adults as well as the schoolwork. But from a personal lens, I actually suffered with a condition for years called vaginismus. Which basically made sex sometimes impossible or sometimes very painful. And although I did end up getting treatment, thankfully, and it was very successful, like for those years where I had it and there was so little help and so little information, I kind of knew what it feels like to be suffering with something in silence, don't know where to go, feel like you're the only person in the world with this problem, and how lonely that is. So I think my personal experience also led me to being a sex educator, basically.
And Grace, a lot of people, I think, are quite uncomfortable or can be quite uncomfortable talking about sex, and it's obviously, especially with children. And I think that most people would agree that, you know, we should protect children's innocence for as long as possible. But do we need sex ed earlier in school in order to maybe remove some of the taboo of talking about it?
Yeah, so I mean, even if we take the term sex education, that sounds like we're immediately educating young people about sex. But actually, it's a bit of a catch-all term for relationships and sexuality education. And at a young age, so when, say, children, maybe even like, say, primary school, kind of 9, 10, 11, it's actually not about sex. It's about, you know, learning the correct terms for your body parts. And there's nothing, you know, there's nothing controversial or bad about that. That's just learning about your own body, and it's empowering, and you know you need to be informed and not ashamed of your body. It's learning about boundaries and consent, and you know, respecting yourself and other people, and body image and whatnot. And then as a child gets older and they become a teen, then kind of add on more information as you go, and you try and meet a child where they're at, because children, as you know, like they are growing up now than even we were, or anyone of the generations before. So although I totally understand, I really do understand this idea of protecting children's innocence, the thing is, it's finding that balance between, yes, not exposing them too early to too much information, but also not waiting too long, because they will get exposed to online and from peers and from the media. So you do have to get in there early with some good, like, factual, grounded information as well.
So when you hear people talking about age-appropriate sex education, or, you know, age-appropriate education in general, that's what you mean. Mm-hmm. You introduced themes to them as they are able to cope with it and able to understand it without, you know, having bad influences. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to traumatise children, obviously.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't want to overwhelm them. Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. It's kind of taking it as a staggered approach. And, you know, you're trying to meet, each child is so different as well. So you are trying to meet children where they're at. And what I say to a lot of parents is, you know, when children do come to you and start asking questions, a great thing to do, and it's what I do as an educator a lot, is first start by reflecting the question back. So, you know, if they're asking, where do babies come from? Where do you think they come from? You know, so always just getting a gauge of where they're at. And see, sometimes you can be surprised. Sometimes they know a lot more than you think. Mm-hmm. Or again, you know, they've been shown something on someone's phone and it's just really confusing. And it's just important that even if they're coming to you with that at a young age, that we're not shutting them down immediately and saying, oh, I can't tell you anything about that, because they are going to just look to to another source of information then to find out. So, you know, it's just finding the balance. It's tricky.
And as you mentioned, you know, you mentioned about the internet, and like I'm in my 30s now, and personally, I'm grateful that there was no internet when I was in primary school in particular.
I know.
But like for parents, it must be very difficult because, you know, there are like sources of information that are not necessarily accurate and can genuinely be quite harmful online. And you know, you mentioned about that, you know, that some schools have specialist, you know, sex and relationship education, which has been brought in recent years.
Yeah, I mean, even I suppose what we would call media literacy has become a huge part of the program I run. So I run a program in schools, and in the majority of secondary schools in Kerry we go into, it's called RSC and Me. And as it's progressed over the years, there's been more of a need to look at media influences and you know, what they're seeing online. And you would be, say, I'm someone who I don't like to induce panic because I don't think that actually does any good. But I would also like to say, you know, they are seeing stuff a lot younger than we might think. And some of the content is, I mean, completely inappropriate for a young person to be seeing. And I think this comes back to the idea that good sex education actually protects young people. You know, it doesn't harm them. It actually cuts through that noise or seeing something that could be confusing or scary and actually saying, do you know what? That's actually, you know, that's not real life. That's not how adults actually are intimate with each other in real life. So coming in with positive sexual health, you know, education.
And when we talk about education, we're not just talking as well about children. Like we often think of school, but like for people who didn't have sex education in school, like it is, there is value to learning about it, you know, the theory, shall we say, at all ages.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Like, I mean, I wouldn't have a job if adults knew everything, you know. I don't think we can understate the consequences of having grown up in whatever age you are. I'm in my 30s as well, but even, you know, even people of our age, but older again, having grown up maybe in a culture, a different time in Ireland, where there was a lot of shame, there was a lot of silence, there was a lot of fear around sex. Anywhere from, I mean, I can't count how many clients have said to me that they heard some version of the sentence, you know, don't bother coming home if you get pregnant, kind of thing, you know, and which is, it's shocking when you think of it now, but again, look, different times. And then sometimes it's just like people like me, I was never told anything like that, but I didn't get like proper formal sex ed in school. So I had no idea, like many of my peers, what consent actually meant, what that looked like, what are boundaries, you know, how do you figure out what your own boundaries are, how your body actually works, and how a man's body works, etc., beyond just the biological, you know, making a baby. So like, I suppose in my job and working with adults, I see the consequences of that, you know, I meet people, they could be married decades, they could have had multiple children, they still can't talk about sex with their partner. You know, so, and when someone has an issue, which happens for many, many people, and in their sex life, whether it be a change in libido or whatever's happening, it's again that silence and that not talking about it and not knowing even how to approach it. People really suffer. Relationships break down and it affects people's self-esteem, and there really are loads of effects, you know?
And Grace, you know, is that the biggest problem you see, that this gap in knowledge, you know, creates, that people don't know, you know, how to even, like we mentioned earlier, there's embarrassment about it. You know, there some people, you know, still feel ashamed bringing up, you know, intimacy in conversation with their partners. Like as we move through the different stages of life, do we have the language to explain what we're thinking?
Well, I think there's so many more resources available now. Like obviously people like myself, but there's loads of other sex therapists and educators now with an online presence. There's amazing even sex education books for adults that have come out in recent years, podcasts, you name it. There's way more information there. But I think, you know, really we're in the age of information, aren't we? It's there if you want to find it. But again, it's the shame. It's the deeper sense of shame of, oh, there's something wrong with me. Or, you know, oh God, I can't talk about that, it's too uncomfortable, it's too embarrassing. that's kind of where people really run into trouble. And what I would like to see is culturally, and we are getting there, we are definitely getting there. But you know the way with mental health, now we're much better talking about mental health. We don't just sweep it under the rug anymore. We need to now do that with sex and sexual health and sexuality, because our mental health, our physical health, our sexual health, they're not separate subjects. They're all completely interrelated. So just to see it more normalized of, oh, of course, this is something you should be able to talk about with a partner. But again, it's a skill. Communication is a skill. So I guess the younger we start learning how to get in touch with our feelings and express our feelings, we can bring that into our adult relationships. But you can learn as an adult as well. You know, it just takes a bit of time getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. And then you get better at it, you know.
And where are the biggest gaps in knowledge, you know, that you see among adults?
That's a good question. There is, I suppose, what would come to my work a lot is there is big gaps in knowledge of how like desire and libido works in relationships. Because again, with the media and online, we see is the honeymoon phase, as we call it. You know, when you first get together and you're bonding and it all feels easy and spontaneous. But how do you, now that we're living longer than ever as well, and very busy, stimulated modern lives, how do you keep a sexual relationship happy and healthy and fulfilling over decades, like long term? And people just, I mean, they just, things change and they don't have a clue how to start, you know, rebuilding that connection. And that is what, again, people like me are there to help with that. And that there's not something broken or wrong with you because your, say, libido has decreased. It's probably actually happened for a very valid reason. So it's knowledge about ourselves, really, Brita, like, as well as our partners. It's kind of getting to know ourselves on a deeper level.
And like, Grace, we don't often hear discussions about intimacy later in life. You know, is it a myth that intimacy is less important as people get older?
Oh, yeah, I think it's a myth. I suppose it's a little bit subjective. I mean, someone might argue that, look, sex for them has become less important. And I'm not here to judge that, because it's for each person to decide what's important to them in their life. But like, it's certainly a myth that you become less sexual as you get older. I think that's really entrenched with you're expected to become less sexual as you get older. And I always say this, it drives me mad. But you know, in films, if there's ever kind of even an elderly couple being intimate, it's always seen as a joke, or like it's put in for comedic effect. Whereas I'm thinking, why wouldn't two people who love each other or fancy each other want to be intimate? You know, again, it's such a natural part of life. And ironically, and particularly because I work more so with women, actually the quality of sex tends to get better as women get older, because they're more comfortable in themselves and their bodies and more able to advocate for, you know, what they might want and what they might like. So there's no age limit on it. That's for each person to decide themselves if they want to put an expiry on it.
And just before we wrap up, what would you say to listeners who feel it's too late to learn or to change or improve this aspect of their life?
Well, it's not. It's not too late. It absolutely is not too late. And, you know, it makes me sad to think that people would think it's too late, because where does that messaging come from? It's kind of very ageist in a way, isn't it? And it's very self-limiting. I think if someone genuinely wants more from that part of their life, then they deserve to experience more. Again, there's loads of information out there. There's loads of education. I run kind of events and courses and things like that. And, you know, you're as deserving of it as anyone else. It's just you have to be the person to reach out and to, you know, learn a bit more. And if you have a partner, to kind of have those conversations that could feel a bit tricky at first, but usually the tricky conversations are the important ones, aren't they? So look, it's not too late. It really, really isn't. It's never too late.
And where can people find out more about you?
Yeah, so the easiest way is to go to gracealice.com. And then for the schoolwork, it's rse.ie is the other website.
Okay, thank you so much for joining us, Grace. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Brita.